Welcome to Outdoors Radio, brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource, on the web at lake-link.com. By Hupe and Abraham, a powerful law firm with a proven record of large settlements, on the web at hupe.com. And by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, on the web at dnr.wi.gov. I'm Dan Small, here with Jeff Kelm. And Jeff, well, Titletown is still celebrating, I'm sure.
The trophy came home last weekend. Fantastic.
And wasn't that something? And, you know, you had a wonderful idea for a pre-Super Bowl party, and I was going to join you on Delavan Lake, but you never made it there.
Never made it there. We had a bit of a weather issue. Last Sunday morning, it was like a freezing rain in the Sheboygan area.
Yeah, we had snow just about 20 miles south of you.
Right, and up by us, everything was slick. Mm. And we hit the interstate, and we went around three times with the trailer and the quad and the Jeep. We spun three times on the interstate, and we, rocked back and forth probably four or five more times before we finally slowed down enough I could get over the shoulder. The trailer hit the grooves in the side of the shoulder and
sure.
Stopped that in a hurry. And, it was probably, I would tell you, it's the scariest experience I've ever had on the road.
Wow.
It was absolutely frightening. I mean, on the interstate, first off,
oh yeah,
to be lucky enough that there's nobody around us.
Right.
I mean, we would have been taken out or taken them out and whatnot. Mm. And just the sheer speed you're generally going at. I mean, we weren't going fast, fortunately. We were driving up a hill. You know, people that know I-43 in the Sheboygan area, there is a hill there.
Right, at 20, you were just getting on then, weren't you?
Just getting on from 23 heading south and climbed the hill behind Acuity Insurance and the rear wheels of the Jeep let out, and it's such a short wheelbase with the trailer. You know, the trailer had the 500 quad on it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not exactly the lightest thing. It starts spinning you, and it just kind of goes all together, never really jackknife like a longer wheelbase vehicle would have done. And It was scary. We decided, we called it right there, 6 o'clock in the morning. We called everybody we were supposed to fish with, except for you. I waited for you because I didn't need to wake you up.
That was kind of you. I was about to call you and ask you how they were biting. I was packing the car and heading down. But
we're gonna reschedule and we were gonna take out our sponsors. We really wanted to thank our sponsors.
You and
for the season. Yep, Adam Schumacher and I. We had a fantastic North American Ice Fishing Circuit season.
You did.
And Don Kaldunsky of American Fishing Contest was going to come down. Rick Ranney from the Fisherman's Soap was going to be there. We had invited Kerry Paulson from the Automatic Fisherman, Tom Grunewald from HT, all those guys to come down, and some of them were going to be able to make it. And we're going to make a big day of it. Shu was going to cook a meal because that's what Shu does. He's a chef. And it just never happened. So we're going to reschedule it. We're going to invite you again, Dan.
All right.
And we'll find another Sunday that works for everybody. And, you know, we were thinking maybe it's okay. We knew the travel on the ice was going to be poor because of all the snow they received in that area, too. So maybe we can let everything get packed down, maybe even a rainfall to minimize the snow and get into some maybe late ice crappies. That would be really cool.
They bite a little better later in the ice season, too. But, boy, you don't want to travel on black ice like you did.
No, it was very scary. Very scary.
It really is. I've lost control of a trailer once and ended up rolling the thing in the summertime and was just amazed that we survived it. But I know what it's like. You know, it's almost, it kind of gains momentum as it's spinning around there.
It was weird. I mean, I can play it back in my head, and I just don't ever want to do it again. I race stock cars.
Yeah, I know.
And that was way scarier. You know, that experience on the interstate was way scarier than ever being in a stock car and the accidents I've been in there. So,
Okay. Well, I'm glad you came out of it okay, and we had plenty of time to get home and watch the game then. So.
Yeah, absolutely. We fished Sheboygan County that day just because we were closer to a lake than we were to home. So,
all right. Well, sturgeon spearing, speaking of ice fishing, it's underway on the Winnebago chain, and you know that if you've got a permit. And if you are wondering, can you still buy a license? No, it's too late. You had to do that last fall. We understand that water clarity there is pretty good, 10 to 15 feet, best on the east side, according to DNR Fisheries Supervisor Ron Brook. So if you're not already out there spearing, this weekend, you know, you can drive over to Lake Winnebago and visit one of the registration stations.
Yeah,
Wentz
is
a good
cool.
one.
It is really cool.
It really
to
is.
See.
They bring in the big fish.
Yeah, prehistoric fish to just take a look at the smiles on the faces because it's not It's not even like deer hunting. You know, even if you get a permit every year, it's a pretty small chance that you get a sturgeon every year. Yeah. So you see a lot of the, even the older generation get just as excited about getting that sturgeon because they may have gone the last 20 years without getting one.
Yeah, some people say, if you've never done this, imagine lying on your back in your fireplace trying to shoot a duck up your chimney. That's about the way it I think they got a little bigger hole than a chimney, a but bit. Anyway, something like that. So, and I'll be at the Milwaukee Muskie Expo all weekend with Brad Karstad, and we've got a road troller down there for you to check out. Yep. That's always a lot of fun. And my brother's flies, we had a lot of fun with those flies last year. Actually got a chance to use them in the Muskie tank. They have a hog trough there.
Sure.
I'm hoping they're going to have it again. Yep. I just found a clip of that video that Steve Worrell shot posted on a guy's website. Well, I've forgotten what his website is now, but he's a South African who lives in Finland, and he ties big flies for pike.
Mm.
In fact, I think he calls his website is Baltic Pike Flies or something like that.
Sure.
So check that out. And there, posted in January, is a picture of me working one of my brother's flies in that hog trough. That was
cool.
That was a lot of fun. Well, we've got a great giveaway, another HT InstaShack two-man shelter to give away this week. The value is $200. If you want to give us a call now at 414-297-7554. Leave your name and phone number. Mention the HT InstaShack giveaway.
All right, and a good show coming up. Before I mention the show, I just want to say congratulations to the USA Ice team.
Oh, yeah.
They competed over in the Ukraine for the World Championships, and they finished 8th out of 14th.
They won it last year.
They won it last year when it was on U.S. soil. They took dead last and had their butts handed to them the year before, which was their first year in.
Mm-hmm.
So, they came home. They did well. They're still on a bit of a learning curve, but finishing in the middle of the pack, congratulations to the USA Ice
Not
team.
Bad.
Those guys worked really hard for
Way
it.
To go.
So, good show this week. Charlie Grimm will join us from the Madison Fishing Expo. Talk about his seminar he's doing this year and a couple others. Keith Warnke's got a new position with the DNR, and we'll talk to him about it. And Judd Cooney is going to join us from the Wisconsin Deer and Turkey Expo, and he's got a few things to tell us about food plots and things like that, too, in just a few minutes. More Outdoors Radio coming up next.
The ice is thickening fast, and HT Enterprises, maker of the world-famous Polar Tip-Up, continues to bring industry-leading innovations to make this your most successful winter ever. Shanty Sticks combos are perfect for sight fishing. Ice Blue Pro combos are ideal for the ultralight enthusiast. And the new Quick Hut Ice Shelter and Polar Fire clothing are designed to keep you warm and comfortable during even the most extreme conditions. HT, the complete line of time-proven ice gear designed to perform. Online at icefish.com.
This is Tom Grunewald. Ask for HT Premium Tackle by name, and remember, nothing beats ice fishing. Nothing.
Check out all the HT tackle and gear and buy conveniently online at xtacklestore.com. That's the letter E, the letter X, tacklestore.com. You'll find great deals plus weekly specials on HT tackle online at xtacklestore.com.
Ice fishing is great winter fun for kids and adults alike. The DNR and many conservation clubs will offer free ice fishing clinics across Wisconsin this winter. These clinics introduce kids to the basics of ice fishing and give them a chance to reel one in. Kids ice fishing clinics are great fun for the whole family. Kids fishing clinics are set for February 5th at several locations in Milwaukee and Menominee Falls. Find more clinic dates and locations online. Search for fishing clinics at dnr.wi.gov.
Available now in stores and dealers near you, Ironclad soft bait brands. As seen at major trade shows and used by pros and anglers like you worldwide, Ironclad soft baits are taking the sport fishing industry by storm.
Discover why Ironclad's won the overall Best in Show Award at the Chicagoland Outdoor Show and why Popular Science Magazine named Ironclad's one of the top 10 inventions of the year.
Take it from Billy Appling, co-angler of the year in the American Bass Anglers Grand Slam Series, who says Ironclad baits give him the competitive edge to win tournaments day in and day out.
Or take it from Thomas Jones, national champion of the American Bass Anglers Fishing Tour, who says he caught 16 bass on one Ironclad lure in 3 hours. Anglers, ask for Ironclad soft bait brands at your store and dealers near you.
Discover why nearly indestructible Ironclads are ushering in the soft bait revolution. Available online at buyironclads.com. That's buyironclads.com.
The law offices of Hupe and Abraham collects tens of millions of dollars each year for car accident clients. With offices throughout Wisconsin and Illinois, Hupe and Abraham and their knowledgeable staff will go wherever it takes and will do whatever it takes to represent you. If you have been in an accident and need serious and experienced representation, call Hupe and Abraham at 800-800-5678. That's 800-800-5678. Or visit them on the web at hupe.com. HUPY.com.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio, brought to you by the Best Madison Fishing Expo ever, February 25th through the 27th at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison, on the web at madfishexpo.com. On the phone with us is Charlie Grimm. He is the director of the Madison Fishing Expo, and Charlie, we want to welcome you to the show, and lots of things to get to. Everybody's talking about the show coming up in a couple of weeks. A lot of seminars going on during the show. We even hear you're doing a seminar this year.
That's right. I'm doing a seminar this year.
What is your seminar going to be about?
Simple fishing for the whole family.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe it was running a sports show or something.
I could do one on that, too, after all these years. There's about 20 of us that run the show, but we kind of share all the duties. And this year, one of mine is going to be giving a talk. So,
well, that sounds
I'm always
fantastic.
Just afraid that there's a lot of people that are just getting started or have kids or, you know, they're primarily golfers or bowlers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of missing out on catching a few more fish. So
sure.
I won't be doing anything on GPS or fluorocarbon line. We're going to be talking about bobbers and worms. And so I'm hoping... And we're going to be doing it in conjunction with our free shore fishing booklet.
Okay.
That we printed up a few years ago, and it's been out at the show every year now, and we hope everybody can get out there and pick one up.
Cool.
Got a lot of good locations in the Madison area where you can take kids and do some good, successful shore fishing. That's another thing. Not everybody's got a boat. So.
Yep. I hear you. And there's a lot of other seminars going on. Any of the key highlights you want to talk about?
Oh, yeah, there's lots of them. We got several good muskie speakers, Bob Mesa Comer and Lee Telkin. Got some good walleye guys, Ted Takasaki. Joe Booker's coming. One of the guys that I really think is great, and he's coming to talk about slip bobbers, is Greg Bone. And Greg guides up around the Minocqua area, and he's the absolute guru of slip bobbers.
Mm-hmm.
And in my book, slip bobbers are one of the deadliest methods you can use.
Yeah.
And he's really the guy. He's written several books on it. And Greg's going to talk both Saturday and Sunday. So, and we've got Eric Hadia from down in the Milwaukee area,
mm-hmm,
talking about the Milwaukee River and the Milwaukee Harbor. Just a great lineup of speakers.
Yeah, it sounds like some very well-educated individuals you're having come in. A lot of other things
super.
Going in on the expo. Of course, everybody knows about the trout pond and stuff. What other stuff is going on?
Well, we got some great kids' activities going on out there. Good place to bring the kids. Of course, kids 12 and under are always free. We got a fishing pond where they fish for bags with little baits in them. We got face painting. Sunday we're going to have the balloon guy there. And, of course, there's always the minnow races.
Nah.
If you've never seen the minnow races, you got to stop by and check them out for a few minutes.
Yeah, and it's a fantastic show. I've been to it a few years ago. I was there, and you want to think about anything to do with fishing, it's there. And you guys put on a fantastic show for everybody.
Well, you know, that was our original mission statement over 25 years ago, is to get Madison their own fishing show and just make sure, you know, that we do it well, and if we make some money, we're going to spend it on local fishing projects.
Sure, then that's
and of course, that's
fantastic.
Expanded now up over like $600,000-$700,000.
Yeah,
that
was awesome.
The kids' fishing bays all over. We've got a scholarship fund up in Stevens Point, and all the dollars from the door are really well spent.
Yeah, that is great, and it's, you know, it's weird because I'm still thinking ice fishing at the time. I leave there, and immediately I'm thinking, boy, July's coming fast, or June's coming fast, you know?
Isn't that something? Yeah, everybody's got spring fever, cabin fever, and in the next couple of weeks, it kind of starts to really build.
How do people get a hold of tickets, and what other things can they find online?
Tickets are only at the door. That simplifies things. That helps us keep the price down. We've been at $8 for a long time, and we try to keep it that way so it stays a good family show. Like I said, kids 12 and under, always free. So the show's on Friday from 4 to 9. We set up all day Friday, and then we open at 4 o'clock. So then Saturdays from 9 to 7 in the evening, and then Sundays 9 to 5. So really a chance for everybody to get out there. And we hope everybody comes and brings lots of kids.
All right. Well, it's always a great time, Charlie. Thank you so much for joining us. You are the they call you the director of the Madison Fishing Expo, and
well,
thanks once again.
One of the directors, yeah.
All right.
I'm the spokesman, I guess.
Well, that's all right. You did a fantastic job. Thanks for joining us again.
Okay, thank you, guys. We'll see you at the show.
All right. Charlie Grimm from the Madison Fishing Expo. It is happening February 25th through the 27th at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. MadFishExpo.com is where you can go for details. More Outdoors Radio coming up next.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. We're brought to you by the Wisconsin Deer and Turkey Expo, April 1, 2, and 3 at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. Info on the web at deerinfo.com. And we're joined now by a friend of mine, a fellow outdoor writer and photographer, and he's also an outfitter and a seminar speaker. He hails from Pagosa Springs, Colorado. Judd Cooney, welcome to the show, Judd.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, Judd, I'm glad you're able to take time to talk with us. Now, you live in western Colorado, and that's mule deer country out there, but you've become one of America's top experts on whitetails. How have you managed to do that?
Well, I was originally born and raised in Laverne, Minnesota.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Just north of the Iowa border, and all my relatives are from the southwestern part of Iowa. So it's not like it was new country to me, and when I got out of the outfitting business here, elk hunting is just hard work, and I decided to look into the whitetails because that was catching on really big and hit Iowa the first year that they opened for non-resident hunting, which Iowa was the last state to open for non-resident deer hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And could see the potential for whitetails there. When I was growing up, there were no whitetails or turkeys in that part of the country. But that's all changed now.
Well, it certainly has, and you have a website, JuddCooney.com, and one of the links on there is your outfitter business. It's Iowa Trophy Whitetail Outfitters, and it's just one impressive buck after another. I didn't count all the record book bucks, but there's sure a lot of them. How do you manage to do that on that land?
Well, I've been doing it for about 15 years. I lease about 3,000 acres, 5 different farms. Probably have a couple more by next fall. But we have gone, one of the big things that we've done is put in food plots. None of our land has cattle on it. We make sure that that's one of the things when I lease land. But we've gone to food plots, and food plots for the average individual are either totally frustrating or totally fantastic, depending on the year and the month and the day. But we have kind of got the kinks out of the food plots, and most of our big bucks, we've created sanctuaries with food and water and everything else, and we pull a lot of deer in. Of course, when we pull a lot of deer in, well, we also pull the big bucks that are in the area into the properties.
Uh-huh. Now, Jeff had some experience with food plots this last year. In fact, you showed us some photos of some really nice bucks on those plots in the summer.
Yeah, I mean, it's proof that if you put your time into your plots, they can certainly yield some very good results as far as deer coming in. And sometimes you have to, we had to kind of curb our expectations as to what they're going to look like the first year.
Mm-hmm.
But food plots are, there's some work to it, but they pay off in the end for sure. And, this year we expect to have them even bigger and better, so.
Now,
well, food plots can, like I say, be very frustrating. The average guy is, typical of many of today's hunters. They want to walk into Cabela's or one of the stores and, go in as a citizen and come out as an expert hunter, and it's kind of the same with food plots. They want to go buy a bag of seed,
yep,
throw it out, and kill a Boone and Crockett buck, and it just doesn't happen that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jeff had some issues with the plots early on, but he did have a Booner walking through the camera, walking in front of the camera. Never saw him during the season. Though,
never saw him during the season, but I'm hoping he's still
we
out
have
there.
That, we have that every year, and during the rut there early in the season, we don't, because of Iowa's restrictions on drawings, we don't get many bow hunters, and with all the land we've got, why, a lot of times we don't even get to hunt some of the food plots, we try to stay away from the food plots during the archery season, and catch the deer coming and going.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, being a photographer, when I've got hunters out, I'm not just going to sit in the car and sleep or read a book, although I do that too, but I'm going to be out photographing. So, and it always, not always, but a lot of the times I'm on a food plot and see a Boone and Crockett buck, and my bow hunter client doesn't see anything or see smaller deer, and then I put him there and go somewhere else. And so it's a real frustrating experience a lot of the time.
So you're the secret then. It's not the food
plot. Yeah, right. Yeah, I tell them to stay with me, and they'll probably see big bucks.
There you go. Yeah. Well, when I'm out with a camera, I never see deer. That's my my jinx. But now you're going to be sharing some advice at the Deer and Turkey Expos, Wisconsin and Illinois as well, I think, right?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah. And going to be doing seminars on food plots. What are some of the tips, without giving us your whole seminar now, what are you going to tell us?
Well, it's basically, as an outfitter, I get a little bit different outlook on food plots. You know, the average individual, he may hunt his grandma's farm or his dad's farm or have one farm to hunt or maybe two, and he doesn't have the time and he can't afford the expense of putting in food plots, where with as an outfitter, you know, I've got probably 20 acres of food plots on five different farms, and you know, to me, that's a vital part of it. So I spend the time and the funds to do it and try to do it right and experiment. I can experiment, you know, with a little plot here, a little plot there, just on an experiment basis, where the average individual hunter, or even a couple of hunters, just don't get involved in it that much. And since, you know, it's a major part of my production, they're very important to me, and I'm willing to stay with it. You know, I've made mistakes and had food plots that just didn't do anything, and, you know, had excellent food plots, and then you get back into the late season and the weather warms up, the deer don't use them, or you have, you know, your food plots don't do real well because of the weather, and all of a sudden you get cold weather during the season, and the deer eat the food plots up in a week, or turkeys eat them up, and so they're just, it's a never-changing thing. It's even this year, after about 15 years of doing it, we had several problems this year with the farmer trying to talk to a farmer who could care less about hunting into leaving a food plot. You just can't get it across to them sometimes, or they've got a hired hand who his idea of a food plot is, you know, is 20 bushels of corn, and my idea of a food plot is 200-300 bushels. So they're just, and the average hunter a lot of times doesn't get to see this. And then he wonders why he's not successful, and after a year or two he just said, hell, it's not worth it.
Yeah, so there are common mistakes that people make, I understand.
Yes, I think, you know, when I first started out, I wanted a lot of little food plots on a property because I thought, you know, the more edge effect and the more exposure you have, the better it's going to be. Well, I'm finding out now that I'm going to larger and larger food plots because what I've created is a monster. I'm pulling... you know, I'm pulling deer in. I've sat in a food plot and counted 120 deer in one of my food plots.
Wow.
Well, you can't have a, you know, a 16th of an acre of a food plot of any species, you know, corn or beans or the brassicas or any of that, and that's just not going to, it's not going to hold out. So you have to kind of balance your food plot to, you know, to the area and the number of deer you have. I've got some areas where a half-acre food plot gets me through, you know, clear into the January season, and other areas where 2 acres are just barely enough.
Now, what do you say to people who say about large plots like this with 100 deer in them that you're really altering deer behavior and that this is really upsetting the balance of nature?
Well, I don't think so, because, you know, back in the Midwest there, in our part of the country, there's feed everywhere. If one of my food plots doesn't provide, they're going to go somewhere else. And, you know, there's all kinds of cropland, soybeans, corn, alfalfa. That's one of the reasons that we've got big deer, is because there's so much feed available. And they just go somewhere else. It's, you know, it's one of the things that if a farmer has got a cornfield and he harvests that cornfield, the deer will move 180 degrees, maybe go half a mile to the neighbor's soybean patch or vice versa. So, you know, I think in smaller areas, sure, that's my job as an outfitter, is to get the best and the most deer on my properties as I can, and I definitely pull deer off the neighbor's land, which is, you know, what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, okay.
So what I'm trying to do is create on my leases is create sanctuaries, which means protecting them. You can't just put up a no hunting, no trespassing sign or land lease and expect it to work. You have to be there and you have to take care of it. And so it's a full-blown, you know, type thing. And a lot of our hunters, a lot of today's hunters don't have the time. They're in, you know, high-pressure jobs and everything, and they don't, well, I've always said you don't have time to do anything. You take time to do what's valuable to you. And food plots are, you know, that way to me. I have to drive, you know, in August, I drive 900 miles one way to put in food plots and take care of the ones that are there. And so, you know, you take the time to do it. And you know, I've always said that the harder you work, the luckier you're going to get.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, folks who are interested in learning more about food plots can hear your seminar and actually can talk to you and ask questions at the both the Illinois and the Wisconsin Deer and Turkey Expo. And I'll look forward to seeing you there. So thanks a lot for joining us, Judd.
All right, good. Well, I'm glad I could be a help.
You bet. That was Judd Cooney. And you can hear him or see him live at the Wisconsin Deer and Turkey Expo, April 1, 2, and 3 at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. And more information on the web at deerinfo.com. More Outdoors Radio after this.
Attention! All right, deer hunters, pay attention. This is a mission of interest to you. Volunteers are needed to assist DNR and university scientists in live capturing deer where they live. Deer will be captured from the air and on the ground. You'll fit them with radio collars, ear tags, and let them go. These marked deer will be reserved for cause of death, fawns produced, and fawn survival. This intel will be used to answer questions you've been asking. This mission will continue up for 5 years. Your help is vital to the success of the mission. Sign up now at dnr.wi.gov.
The Midwest's largest fishing website, LakeLink.com, is your online fishing resource. 90% of LakeLink's features are yours to use free of charge. Members get access to LakeLink's online lake map library that lets you get GPS coordinates of any spot on the lake and export waypoints to your onboard electronics. Members also get free outdoor classified ads, discount on online store merchandise, and much more. Outdoors Radio listeners can save $5 on a new or renewal membership. Simply enter promo code DAN when you set up your membership account. That's promo code D-A-N. You can listen to Outdoors Radio 24-7 on LakeLink. Listen to this week's show, catch any of our past shows, subscribe to our podcast, or sign up for our weekly e-newsletter so you'll know in advance what's coming up. Just type in keyword radio. See what you've been missing. Log on to lake-link.com today. That's lake-link.com.
The law offices of Hupe and Abraham collects tens of millions of dollars each year for car accident clients. With offices throughout Wisconsin and Illinois, Hupe and Abraham and their knowledgeable staff will go wherever it takes and will do whatever it takes to represent you. If you have been in an accident and need serious and experienced representation, call Hupe and Abraham at 800-800-5678. That's 800-800-5678. Or visit them on the web at hupe.com. H-U-P-Y.com.
The ice is thickening fast, and HD Enterprises, maker of the world-famous Polar Tip-Up, continues to bring industry-leading innovations to make this your most successful winter ever. Shanty Sticks combos are perfect for sight fishing. Ice Blue Pro combos are ideal for the ultralight enthusiast. And the new Quick Hut Ice Shelter and Polar Fire clothing are designed to keep you warm and comfortable during even the most extreme conditions. HT, the complete line of time-proven ice gear designed to perform. Online at icefish.com.
This is Tom Grunewald. Ask for HT Premium Tackle by name. And remember, nothing beats ice fishing. Nothing.
Check out all the HD tackle and gear and buy conveniently online at xtacklestore.com. That's the letter E, the letter X, tacklestore.com. You'll find great deals plus weekly specials on HD tackle online at xtacklestore.com.
Ice fishing is great winter fun for kids and adults alike. The DNR and many conservation clubs will offer free ice fishing clinics across Wisconsin this winter. These clinics introduce kids to the basics of ice fishing and give them a chance to reel one in. Kids ice fishing clinics are great fun for the whole family. Kids fishing clinics are set for February 5th at several locations in Milwaukee and Menominee Falls. Find more clinic dates and locations online. Search for fishing clinics at dnr.wi.gov.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small here with Jeff Kelm, and this part of our show is brought to you by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources on the web at dnr.wi.gov, and also by Hupe and Abraham, a powerful law firm with a proven record of large settlements. Find them on the web at hupe.com. Well, we're joined now by a familiar name to a lot of our listeners, Keith Warnke, who is now the DNR Hunting Heritage Coordinator. Keith, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you?
Well, we're doing great. Now, folks remember very clearly, I think, a lot of us anyway, that you were the DNR big game ecologist for a number of years, and now you're doing something different. Tell us about this transition.
Yeah, well, after 6.5 years as the big game specialist in wildlife management, this position became available. This is, and my current title is the hunting and shooting sports coordinator. This is a position that I've long had a passion about. I've long been interested in where we are going with the future of hunting and fishing in Wisconsin and trapping as well, and how we're going to be able to retain current hunters or recruit the next generation. I've always been interested in doing that, including in bringing up my two daughters and teaching them to hunt. So when this position became available, you know, it was just much too good to pass up, and so here I am.
Now, but the Barstool critics and the conspiracy theorists are going around thinking you were run out of town, weren't you?
Yeah, well, you know, they couldn't have stopped me from taking this position. That's pretty much how much passion I've got toward making sure we have the next generation of hunters and trappers out there in Wisconsin. And I'll tell you, right now, there will be a next generation of hunters and trappers in Wisconsin, but right now it's not looking like it's going to be nearly as big as it is now. Mm-hmm. So one of the things we really have to do is work with hunters and look at this thing, I think, from a local perspective and try to build on what we have and make that next generation the same size as it is now.
I've got a question maybe right off the bat, and it's kind of off the beaten path. Maybe you can answer it. Have you noticed that maybe we have fewer hunters, but are people that are doing it more passionate about it than they used to be, instead of just doing just to be something done on the weekend or free time? Is it something that people are becoming more passionate about, and is that something that maybe we can look forward to for the future generation, that they're just going to be very passionate the fewer that are doing it?
I think you might be onto something there. It may not even be that they're more passionate now than they were before, but people who were not as passionate about it may have dropped out. And what we're going to have to do here in the future, I think, is try to make that connection between passion and commitment, to see what it is that really gets people hooked into understanding what it's like to experience nature, to learn about the natural world and the ecosystem, and then to hunt and take some of your meat from that natural world.
You know, you and I have talked about this, and we've talked about this with other folks on the show, and it's, you know, there are so many groups and organizations out there and individuals who have as a goal to introduce more people to hunting, but it comes right down to actually doing something. We can have all the theories that we want and all the programs that we want, but we have to do something, like the way you took your young daughters when Sophie was old enough to hunt, but Olivia was not, and you've been taking them hunting for a number of years. You actually have to, you know, get people into the woods, not talk about doing it, right?
Yeah, I think, in fact, you have to get people into the woods when they're young and get them involved in going hiking and going fishing and going along hunting. I think my girls went when they were two, probably at the oldest, maybe even younger than that. I took them along hunting. And, yeah, you know, you're not going out there all day bow hunting for the trophy buck, I can tell you that much.
Mm-hmm.
But, you're taking the kids out and, hey, this is a good time. They're hanging out with Dad. We're learning this about the woods, and we're seeing deer sign, and we learned a lot about deer beds, and all of that just kind of builds. And it is a long mentoring commitment, that's for sure, with kids. And I think we really need to start thinking about that as a long-term mentoring opportunity, that then by the time they're 10 or 11 or 12 or whatever age it is deemed appropriate, then they're ready to take the next step and go and actually use a gun.
Yeah, and
I always tell people my kids have been hunting for years. They just don't use guns. They're with
me. Sure. And it, you know, you were right about the hiking and the fishing, and that's all encompassing. You know, when I was growing up, I did not do any hunting. My dad bow hunted only a few times, but he didn't have a whole lot of time. I didn't actually start deer hunting until I was of legal age in the state of Wisconsin. I didn't see deer hunting really until that point. I saw them bring the deer back home and things, but I was exposed to much more of the outdoors, the hiking, the fishing, the camping, and that all is all kind of encompassing. And it was kind of a natural progression to get into the hunting and to want to be in the outdoors. And it's something that even if you can't take them hunting all the time, get them out camping. Get them out in the outdoors. At least they'll enjoy being out there, and you work themselves into the hunting.
Right, and talk about hunting. So by the time you were old enough to hunt, it was burned into you as a part of your identity. Already.
Yeah, it was what you were going to do. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, we talked to a young fellow a couple weeks ago on the show, Jackson Landers, who calls himself the locavore hunter. And he's got a couple books in progress. One, Beginner's Guide to Deer Hunting for Food. And then he's going to write another one on hunting or eating aliens, alien species. But he told us that he did not hunt as a youngster. Mm-hmm. But like Jeff, he had spent many, many hours and weekends and summers in the field, in the woods. He wanted to be a naturalist. So he learned a lot about how natural systems work and then eventually became a hunter. But kids don't spend that kind of time outdoors today. You know, Jeff is kind of an exception in his generation, I think. And, you know, you and I did. We're a little older, quite a bit older. I am anyway. But kids today, how do you convince them to do that? Or is that dad's job to get them off the couch and to leave the iPod home?
Well, I think in a way it really is. You know, and just by you doing it and inviting the kids along is going to help a lot. But you also have to remember, too, it ends up being sacrifice, you know, because kids are not naturally going to go out and sit still for 4 hours. You know, it's a matter of making it fun and making it exciting and walking around. And then they can come back and sit on the couch with the iPod or the iPad or whatever it is and check out a lot of, learn about a lot of the things they saw out in the woods on the web. So I think the two could work together, work in concert to some extent to help people out. But it's definitely people have to be exposed to that going outside and enjoying it. And this millennial generation born between 1980 and 2000 is really the first generation that has put a lesser priority on getting outside of all previous generations. Their priority is lower than the rest. So, you know, it's interesting. I think we're going to have to try to work on ways of reemphasizing how important outdoors and natural resources and hunting and fishing are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder if because of how fast technology took off and how much people are just ingrained in the technology side of things, that trying to get maybe your generation, Dan, to try to combine the in-the-field stuff with what Keith just said, learning about that stuff now online and things like that, if there's just so much of a learning curve because of how fast technology took off, that it's going to take a little time for that to catch up in itself to really combine the two, you know?
You're saying that I don't know how to use an iPad.
No,
you're right.
No.
You're right. Okay, yeah, I agree. Well, go ahead.
Well, what kids can do now is you can take these Windows phones and these iPhones out in the woods, and wherever you have a phone signal, you can be surfing the web, you know, looking up information on what you're currently observing. Now, I don't advise anyone to be in the deer stand texting like that girl on public radio was when the deer walked by, but I know that hunters text back and forth constantly. And is there a way that we can engage that with services or products the DNR provides where they can, they can be texting us, which they do, and getting information back right away, but could we go one better and just be able to have an application on there that loads up all their hunting regulations and the locations of the nearest public hunting ground to their current location to help folks, you know, to help use technology to make hunting more attractive and make it more easily accessible for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's all very exciting stuff that we're talking about here. We got to wrap this up quickly, though. Now, there's a conference coming up next weekend, February 18th in the evening and then all day on the 19th at Stony Creek Inn in Rothschild. And that's the second annual Hunting Heritage Conference. I imagine you're going to be involved in that.
Yeah, that's right. I'll be up there the whole time. And if folks want to attend, they are more than welcome to. You can find a registration form on the Hunters Network website. That's huntersnetwork.org. and you can fill it out right there, and it'll get emailed to the person here who will put you on the list. And there's a phone number there as well. So we really encourage people to come and join that conversation about shaping the program as we go forward.
Okay. Well, Keith, I'll be there, so I look forward to seeing you next weekend. And, folks, check it out, huntersnetwork.org. And there are phone numbers and lots of information there if you want to attend that or find out more. Well, Keith, thanks so much for talking with us.
Hey, thanks for having me. Take care.
You bet. That was Keith Warnke. He is now the DNR's Hunting and Shooting Sports Coordinator, and this portion of our show brought to you by Hupe and Abraham, a powerful law firm with a proven record of large settlements, on the web at hupe.com, and by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, on the web at dnr.wi.gov. More Outdoors Radio after these words.
The ice is thickening fast, and HD Enterprises, maker of the world-famous Polar Tip-Up, continues to bring industry-leading innovations to make this your most successful winter ever. Shanty Sticks combos are perfect for sight fishing. Ice Blue Pro combos are ideal for the ultralight enthusiast. And the new Quick Hut Ice Shelter and Polar Fire clothing are designed to keep you warm and comfortable during even the most extreme conditions. HT, the complete line of time-proven ice gear designed to perform. Online at icefish.com.
This is Tom Grunewald. Ask for HT Premium Tackle by name. And remember, nothing beats ice fishing. Nothing.
Check out all the HT tackle and gear and buy conveniently online at xtacklestore.com. That's the letter E, the letter X, tacklestore.com. You'll find great deals plus weekly specials on HT tackle online at xtacklestore.com.
Hear that? Yeah, they're laughing at you. They're the fish that got away this year, and they're giving it to you good. Cedar Lake Sales hopes you'll remember these laughing fish and start thinking about next year. They're ready to deal on the boat you'll need to make next summer your best yet. How about this? A Crestliner 1650 fish hawk coupled with a powerful 60-horse Mercury for under $15,000. All-out pricing from them and instant rebates of up to $1,000 direct from Crestliner. Or this, a 2010 1600 Crestliner fish hawk with a 50-horse Mercury and a Shoreland trailer for $13,995. Then add in the instant rebate from Crestliner. Hey, only the strong survive. And that's Crestliner. Their aluminum fishing boats are built to last and stay consistently ahead of the pack. Add the power of Mercury outboard and you'll have a winning combination. Get to Cedar Lake Sales right now and get the deal you've been waiting for. Because nobody likes a smart aleck fish. Cedar Lake Sales, Highway 33 West Bend. Fish the net at cedarlakesales.com.
The law offices of Hupe and Abraham collects tens of millions of dollars each year for car accident clients. With offices throughout Wisconsin and Illinois, Hupe and Abraham and their knowledgeable staff will go wherever it takes and will do whatever it takes to represent you. If you have been in an accident and need serious and experienced representation, call Hupe and Abraham at 800-800-5678. That's 800-800-5678. Or visit them on the web at hupe.com. HUPY.com.
Attention! All right, dear hunters, pay attention. This is a mission of interest to you. Volunteers are needed to assist DNR and university scientists in live capturing deer where they live. Deer will be captured from the air and on the ground. You'll fit them with radio collars, ear tags, and let them go. These marked deer will be reserved for cause of death, fawns produced, and fawn survival. This intel will be used to answer questions you've been asking. This mission will continue up for 5 years. Your help is vital to the success of the mission. Sign up now at dnr.wi.gov.
Welcome back. You're listening to Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Cedar Lake Sales on Highway 33 West in West Bend, on the web at cedarlakesales.com, and by Ironclads. The soft bait revolution, on the web at buyironclads.com. Time to find out what's coming up on Outdoor Wisconsin this next week.
Well, Jeff, next week I'm snowmobiling in Washington County with the Hill and Gully Snow Riders Club.
How'd that go for you?
Yeah, oh, that was fun. It was a lot of fun. Yeah,
good.
Yeah, they got some nice trails over there. We go right by Holy Hill a few times. Mm-hmm. Got some nice scenery on that one. And Tom Neubauer is fishing for smallmouths, open water fishing, on Oconomowoc Lake with Dennis Radloff. And our archival segment from 2005, Debbie Wolniak tours and skis at the Terrain Park at Cascade Mountain Ski Area in Columbia County. And there's a wonderful outtake on that one that it looks like it should be painful, but she gets through it okay.
All right. Coming up the 28th of February, rabbit season closes, and of course, March 6th, you game fishermen, most inland waters, it does close on you. And that's when us pan fishermen take over the last bit of ice.
Yeah, you do.
ice fishing tournaments, open water tournaments, all of it is listed at AmericanFishingContest.com. Don Kaldunsky's got a fantastic website there.
He does.
With all the tournaments listed, and if you have one you're putting on, you can certainly post it there as well. A lot of sports shows, things going on right now, and too many to list on air here. We've got them all on our weekly e-newsletter at dansmalloutdoors.com.
That's right. One of those events, though, I'll talk about, the Milwaukee Muskie Expo, is going on this weekend. I'm there with Brad Karstead and the Phantom Road Troller. So if you've never seen a road troller and want to get a look at one, the kind of boat that they use up in Vilas County and Oneida County for trolling by hand, check it out. And I'll have my brother Mike Smalls, Big Flies, there for muskies and pike. And for more information, you can check it out online at muskieexpo.com. And also, the Outdoor Wisconsin Banquet coming up next Wednesday, February 16th, at the Country Springs Hotel in what I call Pewaukesha because it's right there on the border. And ticket information, tickets are still available. You can get tickets online at mptv.org, or you can call 414-297-7875. Your chance to meet the rest of the cast, Judy Nugent, Debbie Wolniak, Tom Neubauer, and our director, Jack Abrams. They'll all be there along with me.
Madison Fishing Expo coming up February 25th through the 27th at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. They've got, of course, their trout pond, lots of things to do. All proceeds benefit Fishing Wisconsin. Kids 12 and under are free. Dan's going to be there with Brad Karstead and the Wilderness Scout Hydrojet Canoe. Details online at madfishingexpo.com.
And get this, now I know the folks in Green Bay have a lot of their focus right now on the Pack's tremendous win last week in the Super Bowl, but here's another big event coming up to the Stadium Bar and Grill, and you know where that is, on Holmgren Way. Once they clear all the Packer fans out of there, although maybe some of them will stick around for this, Jim Zumbo's Wild Game Cooking Show and Dinner. Now this is something, I don't know if Jim's done this before, but it's a neat idea, actually, at the Stadium View on the 25th of February. And it starts with a social hour at 6, 7 p.m. a cooking show, and I guess Jim's going to do the cooking. And at 7:30, a family-style venison and walleye dinner, all that for $45. If you're interested, you can Google Jim Zumbo Stadium Bar and Grill, and you'll find a Stadium View, rather. Or you can call 920-884-3159.
Venison and walleye.
Yeah.
That is a Wisconsin surf and turf right there.
Absolutely, it is.
That's
yes.
Awesome.
Two of the four major food groups covered, I think.
There you
the
go.
Other one being brats and beer. So
they might be there too.
I'm sure.
At least beer will be.
No doubt.
All right. If you missed any of the dates, websites, phone numbers, or anything we talked about today, you can check it online 24/7. It's lake-link.com/radio or on my website, hardwater-angler.com. We've got a e-newsletter, like I mentioned before, at dansmalloutdoors.com. We're on Twitter, Facebook, theradiofactory.com, and links to everything that we talked about today, dansmalloutdoors.com.
And don't forget our giveaway, another HT two-man InstaShack ice fishing shelter. Value on this is $200. We got a lot of calls last week. Tom Grunewald of HT Enterprises says, well, if there's that much interest, let's give another one away. So here's your chance to get in on the drawing. Give us a call at 414-297-7554. 414-297-7554. Leave your name and phone number, mention the HT giveaway, and we'll put you in the drawing. Well, you've been listening to Outdoors Radio, brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource, on the web at lake-link.com. By Hupe and Abraham, a powerful law firm with a proven record of large settlements, on the web at hupe.com. And by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, on the web at dnr.wi.gov. Join me for the Milwaukee Muskie Expo this weekend, and join us again next week for Outdoors Radio.
I'll be trolling home to you when my wrist gets a little chilly on the gunwale. When my lazy Ike is just too lazy to lure. When the worms go dry in the coffee can, honey.